Lord, we're just so grateful for you. Lord, in the midst of turmoil, you are at peace. We just be in our midst. Lord, I just pray that on this day of Pentecost, that you would come in like a rushing mighty wind, that you would change the hearts of man, Lord, that you would unite us regardless of our skin color. You see through all that. Lord, you see our hearts. Lord, you see past borders. You see past nationalities. You see past language barriers. Lord, we're grateful for who you are. And we have put our hope and trust in you.
Your presence. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a rushing mighty wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Acts 2, 1 and 2. If you continue on Acts 2, you'll be able to read how the Holy Ghost just came and filled the place.
You were the word of the beginning. Yours is the glory. You deserve.
coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you, all about you, and it's all about you, all about you, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus.
I got my sin.
Father God, I thank you for the blessings you pour out upon us. I thank you, Lord, for your provisions. I thank you, Lord, for the safety and protection that you cover us with. Lord, I thank you for the healing you have displayed in so many lives in so many ways. God, we are simply in awe at who you are and what you do for your children. Lord, I pray this morning that our hearts and minds would be ready to receive from you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would descend into each and every living room and minister to the hearts and minds of your people today, that you would be lifted up and glorified, that we would be changed and become more like who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? Man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest of gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, or the precious onyx or sapphires. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels or gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is well beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, when he looked at wisdom and appraised it, he confirmed it and he tested it. And he said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. We have spent the last several weeks looking at this thing called wisdom. Wisdom is a subject that many people have pondered for years and years. And while wisdom seems elusive on so many levels, it's really not as hidden as we may think it is. The problem with finding wisdom is the fact that we don't want to look for it where it rests. Wisdom is not in textbooks or even on-the-job training, and it certainly cannot be purchased, as we just read a few moments ago. In fact, death and destruction only know rumors of what wisdom might be. Yet believers, you and I, we have been given the key to unlock the greatest of understanding, the choicest of all knowledge. We have been given the key to the gift of wisdom. We have indeed been pointed directly to its source. Wisdom lies with God alone. Just as Job said in the scripture we started out with this morning, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. Gaining heavenly wisdom comes as we mature in Christ. It's not based on how many books we've read
or what Ivy League school we may have attended. Godly wisdom takes submission and a willing heart, which is why we struggle so to gain it. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. We so want to live our lives our own way. We don't like the idea of submission, but submission is what we need to find wisdom. Many of us say submission is too hard. It is, in fact, the opposite of what humanly we would desire. Yet it's exactly what we need to be the wise individuals that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. We've reviewed just what it means to be the wise man, or we are reviewing just what it means to be the wise man according to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to continue on with that this morning. But I think it's important that we understand something here this morning. We are talking about what a wise man or woman, a wise individual, looks like as outlined in the book of Proverbs. We're not talking about how to gain that wisdom, because that only comes in one way, as we fear the Lord and we learn to mature and walk in His ways. When we do that, people will see in us this wisdom, these attributes of wisdom that we continue to talk about. They will be able to say of us, that person is wise. They understand godly wisdom. So far we have talked about the character of a wise man, and we've talked much about a wise man's relationships with the Lord, with family, with friends. Today we are going to start to talk about the wise man's words. First off, and maybe most important, we need to understand, a wise man needs to understand, that words have power. Power for all sorts of things, even power to affect other people, many ways, including physically. Proverbs 12, verse 6. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. Proverbs 15, 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 18, 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Words can cut like a knife. Words can devastate a life to its very core. Words can even murder without consequences, it seems. Words can also uplift, encourage, strengthen, and motivate others. A wise man not only knows the difference that his words make, but carefully chooses their words because they know how powerful they are. This might be one of the most important things for us to understand for many different reasons. One of those reasons is this. In the last several years, there's been a large increase in suicide, especially among teens. and younger individuals. Different studies give out different statistics on this, but they show that these particular tragedies are largely a direct result of being bullied, and that bulliness comes in the form of verbal attack. One report even shares that teen suicide is the third highest rate of death among young people, several thousand per year, all because of words that come from the mouths of other people. The exact opposite is true too. Those that receive sweet, gentle words, even kind, gentle words of correction, are most likely and most often the ones that grow and succeed in very powerful ways. The wise man knows full well how his words affect those around him. The wise man goes out of his way to make sure that the words that come from his mouth are pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, just like we've read about over the last few weeks in the book of James in chapter 3. Let's take a look at some of the other words of a wise man and how they should be this morning. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. There's one word in that particular verse that we should not gloss over this morning, and it's actually the word detests. See, that scripture does not come across as easy or simple. Detests is a very strong, powerful word. That scripture did not say the Lord is saddened by, or the Lord is, you know, just unhappy with. It says the Lord detests lying lips. He delights in truth. And a mature relationship with the Lord, truth is incredibly imperative. It is just absolutely required. The biggest problem with truth may not be what we say to others, but the biggest problem with truth may be what we tell ourselves. If we're not able to be truthful and honest with ourselves, wisdom will elude us. We have to take an honest assessment of who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. We are, unfortunately, as people, we are masters at justifying our own actions, justifying our own thoughts and choices. And we do all of that while reading and hearing and knowing the gospel truth. A problem is we ignore it and we don't apply that truth to ourselves. If it's not truth, folks, it's a lie. And if it's a lie, the Lord detests it. What about the quantity of words a wise man speaks? I mean, they're wise. They must have a lot to say, right? Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Just because many words come from a person's lips does not mean that they have much to say. The wise man knows what words to use and when to use them. A few kind, gentle words can go a long way in building others up, whereas many words quite often tear others down. Then we read in Proverbs 27:2, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips." This falls in line with humility, which we talked about a few weeks ago when we talked about the wise man's character. Being confident in who we are and verbally telling everyone just how good we are two very different things. A wise man does not need to pat himself on the back. In fact, the wise man chooses to keep their few words of praise for others and not themselves. One who is wise does not use their words to start a fight or a quarrel among others either. Proverbs 17:14. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Many Michigan residents understand what that proverb means as of late. Just over a week ago, about a week and a half ago, a major dam failed in Michigan, causing severe flooding. Once that water started moving, there was no stopping it. It broke through that dam and it flooded acres and acres of land, and it made a mess of absolutely everything in its path. Thousands of people had to be evacuated because of the breached dam. Now, praise the Lord, to my knowledge, no one lost their life in that incident. But this breached dam gives us a visual picture, a vivid image in our minds of what words can do to people's life. Maybe that's why the proverb is so powerful as it speaks. Let me read it again. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before dispute breaks out. See, too many times unnecessary words are spoken, and all they do is fuel an argument. That unneeded flood of words can breach the height of the dam and cause it to fail. The immense pressure of those weighty words can cause the walls of protection to collapse. And the deluge of words can destroy everything in its path. While simply, wisely refraining from those same words can spare many a great deal of agony. Again, we can see the pain of too many unwanted words in the next couple of verses. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Proverbs 11:13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Proverbs 26:20 and 21. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. A wise man will not turn his back on a friend or even an enemy to create or to fuel false accusations. Far too many times, believers share gossip in the form of prayer requests. Way too often we jump to conclusions about people and situations without knowing all the facts. If it is our desire to pray for others, then we must do so without being hurtful, misleading, or deceptive in any way. And most certainly, we should not ever be sharing information about another that we have not been given permission to share. We also need to understand that even if we have first-hand knowledge about something that is absolutely true, wisdom will tell us to keep it to ourselves and not share it with the multitudes for the wrong reasons. Slander and gossip are a couple of the biggest problems within the church body today. They do more harm and destruction than any other words in building people up could do. That family, that church family, that close-knit community tends to get hurt more often from its own people than from others outside. The wise understand the destruction of a word spoken, especially if they are false words that are spoken. That gossip, that slander has the power to destroy not just a relationship, but even a life or an entire family, depending on how deep it is. We're going to talk more about words of the wise next week. But today, we're going to close by looking at another section of Scripture regarding our speech and our words. And that comes from James chapter 3. He shares some very insightful words as far as our speech is concerned. James chapter 3 and verse 2 says this: "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." In that verse, James emphasizes the guilt associated with what a man says. He's not addressing his actions here. He's talking about what comes from the mouth of the believer, what he allows his lips to speak. Read that chapter on your own when you have a chance. If you're familiar with it, you know that he goes on to talk about how large animals and large ships are controlled by small bits and small rudders. He compares the tongue to a small spark that starts this devastating fire and destroys much. He also talks about the ability that man has to tame wild animals and beasts, but the inability to control our own tongue. He says this in chapter 3, starting at verse 8. "No man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth came praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be." The wise man understands the truth of this scripture. The power of both life and death that comes from the words that flow out of our mouths. Because of that understanding, the wise man is extremely careful of the words that he allows to leave his lips. Does it mean that wise are perfect and have no fault?
No.
It does not. James was actually pretty clear about that. He says no one is able to tame the tongue. No one. So even those that are wise individuals make errors at times. No one is able to tame the tongue. But godly wisdom tells us how and when to speak, so that we might be more effective in building others up instead of tearing them down. One of the first things we said this morning is that words have power. Not just in some people, mind you, but in all people. Words have power. So how well do we use the power that we have been given? Do we use it wisely? Do we use it to build others up, to edify and encourage each other, even when we're giving correction or direction? Or are we destructive and foolish with our loose lips and our many words? Words that come from our mouths have power. A wise man understands that power. Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I'm going to close in prayer this morning. But as I do, I want to encourage you and ask you throughout this day to join in praying for our nation. This pandemic has certainly caused a bunch of different issues, no question about that. But the last several days and all of the rioting and looting that has happened across our nation just screams to me where our nation is at today. Please pray for our country. Pray that we will repent and fall on our knees, that God will have mercy on this land once again, that He will indeed forgive our sins. I pray that as you get involved in whatever you might get involved in this week, that your words are wise words and that they're cautious words. Lord, this morning we come before you. As so often, God, I thank you for your word, Scripture, the Bible, that we can read for direction and guidance in our lives. I thank you that you have provided that for us and given that to us, the roadmap, the instruction, the knowledge that's there. God, I am so grateful that we have that at our disposal today. Lord, I pray that you would continue to teach us, encourage us, show us, direct us where you want us to go, what you want us to do. Lord, as we continue to look at the attributes and discuss about what a wise man's character looks like, God, would you help us to become more and more God-fearing, wise individuals? Lord, would you teach us and speak to us that we might reflect you well? Lord, today I am pained over the condition of our nation. Lord, I pray, oh God, I pray that you would have mercy on this land once again. Lord, I don't understand some of the thought processes. I don't understand some of the decisions that are being made. But God, I do know that no matter what is going on around us, you are sovereign. It does not change who you are or the control that you have. So God, I humbly come before you this morning and I ask, Lord, that you would have mercy on the United States of America today. God, I pray that you would somehow restore our nation, God, to be the God-fearing, God-loving country that we once were. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Bring peace and restoration to this land. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless and have a great week in Jesus' name.